Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for today's 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, let's start. The Dawgs lose. What went wrong? Did anything go right? And can we believe that this is not a big step back all of a sudden for the program?
It was a horrible loss. No two ways around. And obviously the turnovers were the biggest factor. You turn it over four times, they don't turn it over any. Plus, they get a pick six out of it. Very difficult to win. The penalties were bad. And, of course, the most glaring one, the one point where you felt like, okay, Georgia's got a chance to win this. They miss a kick. You're on their 38-yard line. Incomplete, and then, incomplete, false start. Takes you out of field goal range. Then in overtime, even though you get a gift, they miss a short field goal. Georgia has two possessions, turns it over, can't get a first down, and it was just a bad, bad day all the way around. Too many missed opportunities. The other glaring number out there, and this is where you go overreaction, underreaction. Boy, you better be, and you bet it's been volcanic everywhere, because that was a bad loss. Seven possessions, and that counts two in overtime, but so seven possessions in their territory with no points.
And I don't believe South Carolina until overtime ran a play in the red zone.
No, I think because they scored on a long touchdown and their field goal was from a pretty good distance. This reminds me, and I shouldn't have said it before the game, I was with my friend Jay Deal, and I'd come up to that game with him and his dad, and we had beaten South Carolina here 13-6. I was telling Emily that story, and I said, you know what? Todd Ellis was our quarterback. They had Sterling Sharp. They ran 84 plays that day. Goldberg had a big interception. So did Will Jones. 44 of those plays were in Georgia territory. But we just kept holding them out, and we won 13-6. And then as this game was going on, I'm like, oh, my God. This is just history getting us back for that game 32 bleeping years ago.
Yeah, because we ended up running, 94 or 95 plays, and how many of those were in their territory?
It had to be over half, but we just couldn't get it in. And like we say, you know, this is the type of thing, I'm going to feel like that Brazilian soccer announcer here. It's one of those days when they were losing to Germany, 5-0 at halftime. But I think with the attrition that Georgia got, particularly amongst the pass catchers, and now you throw in a lot of those injuries, this offense is dealing with some issues right now. And a lot of it starts up front, too. This is where you tip your cap to South Carolina. Front end, their defensive line won the battle against Georgia's offensive line, and there ain't no doubt that their cornerbacks won the battle on the back end.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly by me anyway, underestimated the impact of losing some of those guys at receiver, and just shrugged it off and said, you'll be fine there. Jake will find guys to throw to, and there are guys to throw to, and he's found those guys, but the inability to really stretch the field and take a lot of big shots, hit those chunk plays, is what leads you to, you got to drive the ball a little bit more. Like, our average starting field position was about our own 27-yard line.
Second half, it was the 19.
Yeah, and so,
look. And they've got a great punter. Charlton is phenomenal, and we had no return yardage.
No, I mean, we were just basically catching punts. It was like Logan Gray was back there again. Kirby talked about that a little bit today at his presser, that you get into these – you know, you're on guard for a fake punt, so you're not always necessarily setting up a block. So I guess there was one where Blaylock caught it, and it looked like he had a good 10 yards.
There was only one I thought he should have returned, and it might have been the first or second punt of the game. The rest, I mean, this guy's averaging 49, and his net's 44. The rest, he had no chance.
Right, and that was like, I mean, Kirby said if that was a scenario where it might have looked like he should have returned it, but there wasn't actually any blocking set up for him, but you know, that was, but yeah, I mean, we've gone from you're this program that recruits at the level that you have, and your best case scenario on punt return is just to catch the punt. You have no real ability to maybe make something happen there.
Yeah, the special teams has struggled this season. And it was definitely not a good day Saturday.
No. I mean, because even the best kicker in the country ended up missing the ultimate kick that could have at least sent the game into yet another overtime.
And that was after we had two cracks to get just a couple more yards to get a little bit closer for him to win it with far less pressure because you had overtime as the cushion. That was a deal when probably, even with the turnovers and all, at that point the game had finally turned our way. The penalty that took us from the 38 to the 43 was the moment I just put my face in my hands and just said, no, you got to be kidding me. It was at that moment I felt like, you know what, it's not our day.
Well, and, I guess a lot of people would have preferred now in the aftermath of going ahead and kicking the field goal there with 8 seconds left in the game. Kirby said today,
he made the right decision.
Every coach there in the country can run another play there in 8 seconds and get something off. But now we were slow getting the play in. Then Jake seemed to be checking into something else, and you ended up with like an illegal formation.
Well, and the other problem too, where we lost time, we stopped them on third down with, I believe, 59, 58 seconds, and a good 12, 13 seconds went off the clock there. And that's one where, and I know Kirby was looking to try and see, all right, are they going to go for it? Because I get it, if you call timeout there, if they go for it and get it, then there's no way you get the ball back. But at that point, I'm sure if Kirby had it to do again, if he knew they were going to kick, you call timeout, you've got that extra time there. But, that's the chess match. It's moving quick at that point. Probably should have called it a little bit quicker, maybe after the swift run. Maybe you clock it after one of those completions there, because I think ideally if you did have a little bit more time there, or if you had one more timeout, like if you'd have clocked it on one of those plays, that I think the play there, then maybe run swift and try and get just an extra 2 or 3 yards, clock it or call timeout, and then, okay, you got maybe a 52-yarder. But, in the end, that was a crushing penalty, and that was really the one point where we got, when Swift made the run, then when Jake made the run to get the first down, we complete the pass to the edge of field goal range. That was the one point where you thought, like, okay, the Dogs have got a chance to pull this thing out. And again, their penalties have been a problem for this team. And, boy, that one came up at the absolute worst time. And then you throw that in, the two guys who've been so reliable. And again, the last interception wasn't Jake's fault. It went right through Tyler Simmons' hands. And that stuff happens. But Jake had an off day and Rod had an off day. And it's hard when you don't have that explosiveness and you don't have that margin for error. When you go -4 in the turnover column, it's just hard to overcome that. And Georgia, again, that 96-yard drive that Jake engineered was awesome. I wouldn't trade him for any quarterback in the country. And quarterbacks have rough days. It's happened to every single one of them there. But I guess if there was one play I'd love a do-over on, just golly, Moses, that penalty there with – on the next to last play.
No, I mean, you wanted to give Rodrigo a shot to win it from 55. That's what he kicked on the Rose Bowl.
Mm.
Which is that a program that took all of a sudden like a big step back on Saturday with just what really is? It is an embarrassing loss. It was a terrible loss. Or is it a very good team that just had a bad day?
I think this is a very good team that, unfortunately, when you look at the attrition and the injuries, is probably not as great as we thought. I think this is a good to very good team, not a great team, that still does have a chance to win. I think anytime we take the field, I think we're going to have a chance to win this season. But you look the way the schedule stacks up the rest of the way, it's going to be very, very tough, and that starts with Kentucky. Now, it was an awful loss, and I think, Chris, you kind of hit it on the head. You don't want to overreact to it, but you also don't want to underreact to it. And you can't just go in there and say, well, if we don't turn it over, we win. Because in the end, we would have. Okay, even South Carolina's most diehard fan would tell you that. The turnover margin's 2 instead of 4. Georgia wins the game. But in terms of up front, South Carolina's defense won the battle. Georgia on special teams has suddenly become very average from where we were. The lack of explosiveness at wide receiver, again, that's where the attrition has really hit Georgia. And again, a defense is very good, and the defense certainly kept Georgia in the game, but not great. Didn't force turnovers. And again, after Fromm to D-Rob to tie the game, you know, just to give up three first downs there, that's where you God, we got to come out and get that stop and get the ball back and go and win it. So this is a good Georgia team that I think can continue to get better, but there's got to be a lot of progress, I think, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. The special teams, we've got to get shored up, I mean, because it's nowhere near as good as it was, especially 2 years ago. And then for the defense, we got to get some guys making plays.
Well, that's the pitchforks are aimed at James Coley. The offense is catching all the heat, and the offense is responsible for turning it over four times on Saturday. But the defense, yeah, the defense did do reasonably well. The defense also got to face for most of all but one possession of the second half, South Carolina's third string quarterback. And if you look at the starting defense on Saturday, we started one guy. Talking about recruiting, and how good Georgia's done in recruiting and how high we finished in recruiting rankings. Somehow on Saturday, we started one guy on defense that was a top 100 recruit. And we started two guys on Saturday who were signed by Mark Richt.
So that was Barnett and Crowder?
Yeah.
Who were fifth-year. Crowder had a heck of a game,
yeah, Crowder's a good player, and he's one of those stories that you yes. love in college football. But that was a guy that was like a running back and was an unrated recruit.
You know, the story on him, too, not to go off on a tangent here, we lost out on a big-time guy. He was going to Georgia Southern as a running back, and we got him last
yeah.
minute. But, no, I mean, and you definitely do. You look at that 18 class, and I believe in this very room.
Where are these guys?
Didn't we say before the year, one of the keys to this team, can some of these five-star recruits become five-star players? And maybe it'll happen. And I will say this now. In that 18 class, there's some guys. Again, they're just second-year guys, so it's progressing. But, you know, I do like a lot of what I'm seeing out of Nolan Smith, out of N'Kobe Dean, out of Trayvon Walker. And I think getting Jordan Davis, whenever he is back, that's going to make a difference too, because he's a space eater up there. I think maybe out of all this, and again, it's just the odds of Georgia developing an explosive passing game at this point, maybe it can get a little bit better, but you're not going to go from a C to an A at this point. Obviously, it's got to improve, and Georgia's got to get better going down the field. I think, what was it, throws over 20 yards? I think we were maybe 1 for 6 or 1 for 8.
Yeah,
Saturday.
I mean, we've attempted throws that more than 20 yards in the air. We're just not hitting any.
And, I mean, like the fourth down play to Robertson, he was covered up. The next to last play of the game, he was completely covered up. And you can see on a footage that Swift was open on that play. They were getting a push, and I think the official kind of screened him off a little bit. But, you know, that stuff happens. But, I mean, to me, the bigger concern coming out of all that, because I think you got to kind of accept we are where we are with the passing game, is South Carolina's got a very good defensive line, but what their defensive line did to our offensive line, that's the biggest worry
for
me.
And we don't have our defensive line isn't as good as South Carolina's.
It is not. No, it's not. I mean, Kinlaw's going to be a top 10 pick. Zach Pickens was a top 10 recruit. Rick Sandage, they beat us out to get him. It's a very good defensive line.
I mean,
line.
Trayvon Walker's a good start, but again, Jordan Davis was hurt, but you talk about depth on the defensive line. We started a guy Saturday who was signed by Mark Richt. And Kirby's in his fourth year now.
And that's the spot, you know, we've talked about it, where, you know, Alabama and Clemson, certainly the last 2 years, the one position group where they were much better. Georgia was good, but they were great. But
well,
no,
look at Florida with Zuniga.
Auburn.
Auburn is just.
So now talking about, you know, blocking those guys, but before all that.
Got to beat Kentucky.
Got to beat Kentucky. And that's a different animal now with Bowden at quarterback.
I wish I could sit here like I have the last 2 weeks, Jeff, and told you how we're just going to, like, crush Kentucky, but I can't do that anymore.
No, you can't.
Stunning as it might come, I'm not able to predict the future.
No, and listen, so. if Georgia wins Saturday, it's like, okay, you catch your breath, say,
got a week off,
okay, And you can get yourself back in position right now.
And Florida's in a position now where they played at night and they got to play another nooner.
Sure.
Against South Carolina now.
Yeah.
On the road. They got to travel for an early kickoff after playing late Saturday. So,
hey, if South Carolina wins that, they're in play for the East. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. Well, they've only got one. They've lost to Missouri and Bama. They've only got one East loss. So,
and Missouri's ineligible, right?
I think so. I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, Missouri is in play to win the division. I think they are ineligible, though. Right. That'd be the way we'd go to Atlanta, would be like, well, you didn't win the division, but at least you won the tie. Well, we don't have a tiebreaker over South Carolina right now.
Listen, for the players and the coaches, they're worried about the next period, the next practice, the next film session. But right now, you can worry about Saturday's done with. And I think you gotta trust in Kirby and trust in this team that they are going to fix what is fixable. Now, again, we don't have a Mecole Hardman floating around here, but we've got to try and find a way to enhance what we do have, and that's a coach's job. And if we go out and beat Kentucky 6-1 going into the open date before Florida, you're not where you want to be, and you're in position. The other thing, too, was Saturday. It makes those two losses to Bama sting even more because it's so hard to get there.
Sure.
And you just – one bad Saturday. You know, the one part, if you really want to go gloom and doom and look at it, it's like, to me, a worst-case scenario would be, like, let's say Georgia – I don't want to say a worst case. I'd rather go 10-2 than go, like, 8-4. But let's say Georgia lost, like, a three-point heartbreaker to Auburn, and that takes you out of the national scene, and you're going to Atlanta. It's like, God, if we'd have just won that game over South Carolina. But you can look on past history – with playoff teams that have lost as heavy underdogs and moved along. None of those teams, though, have faced the daunting schedule that Georgia has the rest of the way. So I would just say, as Georgia fans, it's been two phenomenal years. We're going to be really good as long as Kirby's here. Next year might be a bit of a rebuild. And maybe this year, instead of being a playoff team, maybe this is a 9-3 type team. And you know what? That's okay. We've been right there on the doorstep the last 2 years, and I really feel like we have our head coach. He's one of us. We're going to get to that mountaintop, but it was a bad day on Saturday, and maybe in the end some stuff, and maybe it won't show the rest of this year or next year, but maybe it could be similar to the Tech loss of 16 when Sony and Nick decided to come back. You got to hope some good comes out of something really bad that happened, because Saturday was really bad.
Well, yeah, and I got to be honest. I mean, I'm starting to get nervous with the game management for Kirby. And, you know, you talk about trusting your quarterback, kicker, and your coach. And today, I mean, Kirby was asked about some of the decisions in the game, and he said there'd be nothing from the South Carolina game he would change about the calls. And I'm like, really? When you went racing down the sideline when they had 1 second on the play clock in overtime and didn't have a timeout, you would do that again?
Fortunately, that didn't, in the end, really didn't have that much of a bearing. But no, that was a misstep. And again, I'm sure if he had to do it all over, I'd like to have gotten that timeout in there when they had the ball with 58 seconds. But again, I get, all right, if they decide to go for it and get it, then you don't have any way to get the ball back. But
it's just like, even going back to that 4th-and-1 call against Notre Dame, like there was the part in the two Alabama games where it felt like we didn't stay aggressive, and that ended up costing us in the end. And now you've also got this where he sometimes he gets like it's risk averse in these moments, and like, well, the safe thing is just to take the field goal and go from being up less than two touchdowns to being up less than two touchdowns when I need to pick up 1 yard here. At the worst, I mean, grind down another 2 minutes of the clock and then maybe kick a field goal after that. But
the crazy thing about the Notre Dame thing is it's like it worked, yet it didn't work. It forced them, yes, to have to get another touchdown, but at the same time, it kept them in a two-possession game.
Well, yeah, and it also put them in a position where they had all four downs to work with.
Correct.
And luckily, they went for it on 4th down, and we swatted that one pass away.
Now, listen, you're talking to two guys in this room, and unless it's like 4th-and-20 or something, the kick to go up 6 or the kick to go up 13, the sports firm of Brame and Dantzler.
No, and I'll bet those two, what's his name, George Lee of the Indianapolis Colts, he'd have told Kirby to go for it then.
But that is, I mean, that thing.
We need one of those guys.
they've got all kinds of analysts. I think now here again, here's the big thing you're talking about. There are all kinds of analysts. They go through the analytics. They go through the numbers. So here's one thing I'm sure Kirby's asking. Am I getting the information quick enough? Am I getting it from the right places? Because it moves fast down there.
Sure. I don't like hearing, because it is. It's similar to Dan Quinn year one after that Niners game when they kicked a field goal, you know, down four and then never got the ball back. But the idea of like, no, there's nothing from this past game that I'd really go back and do different or change. I mean, we, you know, they evaluate and scout themselves after all games. But when you start to dig in like that, it just then I'm like, I need to be able to trust that in the similar situation somewhere down the line that you won't make the same call.
Now, he did say, too, he said, listen, we got out-coached, we got out-played. And that part of that might have been, too, like, look, we're going to try and move on from this.
Oh, yeah, he was ready to start talking about Kentucky today. No one else was.
I think we all are.
Yeah.
It was brutal Saturday.
The best will be, though, on Thursday night when all Georgia fans will – no Georgia fans will have any questions about the South Carolina game. They'll all be interested in who wins horse between Kirby and his wife.
Well, Mary Beth wins that, I'll promise you.
Well, sure. That was like a real question that was asked a couple weeks ago.
But that – yeah, the old thing, the old days of coaches shows are long gone.
Wow, you're really interested in who has a higher vertical, Kirby or Mary Beth. Okay. I'm interested to know whether or not Lawrence Cager is going to play anytime soon, but we know he won't be in there Saturday.
And that's a big blow.
All right, Jeff, as we've hit the halfway point of the season now, just talk SEC. Give me the team that you think is the biggest bust right now and the team that's the biggest surprise.
Well, the biggest bust right now might be
us.
I mean, if this sends us to like a 9-3, that's
– yeah.
I mean, Georgia would have to be a contender for it. Texas A&M's probably sitting there. But, again, they've lost to Alabama, Auburn, and Clemson.
Right.
So
Mississippi State is worse than I thought they'd be.
That's a good play. It's obviously not Georgia now, but trust me, every Georgia fan would tell you right now we're in contention. I think big picture SEC, it's kind of like I've said, that the two biggest recruits Kirby ever got, the return of Nick Chubb and Sony Michel for 2017 – I think the biggest impact newcomer in the SEC is the new offensive coordinator at LSU.
Yeah, who's actually not even their OC. It's still Steve Ensminger.
But to bring him in.
He's the passing game core. He's basically the guy that, you know, got Orgeron to say, like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to change my ways. And
I love Stevie E. Hey, he was a quarterback's coach here for Eric Zier when I was a young buck in college. He's awesome. But that's been what they've been able to do just to do things a little different. And listen, I love our style. I prefer the run first. I like what we're doing. But the bottom line is right now we just don't have the personnel at wide receiver. We potentially can. I think, you know, when you think how good Pickens and Blaylock could be in 2 years,
yeah,
they could certainly be elite. We got Marcus Roseme coming in who's an elite prospect. But, I mean, right now just the attrition that Georgia had amongst the pass catchers in particular. Woo.
You know a guy, too, that because he was committed here, but – But John Rhys Plumlee with Rich Rod at Ole Miss, and he's doing things with him that he was doing with Khalil Tate at Arizona, which might answer some questions, too, about how he ended up getting away. I mean, Rich Rod might have gotten in his ear and said, like, you ever see Khalil Tate at Arizona? I mean, that's what my plans are for you. And
come here and be our guy.
Yeah, and he is. Although they put Corral in the game on Saturday at Missouri, but – you know, Plumlee still is just running, throwing. It looks like that offense. It looks like what Khalil Tate was doing at Arizona when Rich Rod was there.
No, he looks really good.
All right, there's today's 5 at 5 brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.